Okay, good morning and welcome to our full year 2022 earnings result presentation. I'm Daniel Lozano, Chief Strategy and Capital Markets Officer. I'm here with David Ruiz, CEO and Chairman of Grenergy, Mercedes Español, Chief M&A Officer, and Javier Muguruza, our ESG Specialist. Well, at the end of the presentation, as you may know, there will be the Q&A session just for sell-side analysts. I will let you know at the end how you can ask your question. Now I'll hand you over to David.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, Daniel. You can hear me correctly, right?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thanks once again for being here with us. Today we have invited Mercedes, apart from Daniel, our head of M&A, and Javier from our ESG team to join us. I will try to make my presentation as short as possible to leave more time for them and Q&A. It has been a long and difficult year, like every single one from 2020. At least it seems the pandemic is really over, not really in the news anymore. But we have some other strong hot topics. And to briefly summarize this year, I think in Q1 2022, we still had some concerns with supply chain and cost inflation. I think those concerns are way over now. Maybe I would say with the exception of substation and high voltage materials that we see a bottleneck there. And we are more than glad to elaborate in the Q&A. But PV cost and storage CapEx, which is more and more important for us, is now moving down. And logistics costs as nearly back to where they were before COVID. In Q1, the situation in Ukraine changed everything, changed it all. And it's been the strongest acceleration factor we've ever witnessed in our industry. I think all markets, particularly in Europe, are booming. The IRA in the U.S., next generation funds in Europe, storage, BESS is booming all around. And hydrogen does not seem like a distant dream anymore. And I think like we expressed in our previous presentation, we feel we are so lucky to be in this industry with opportunities all around, right? And as we explained in detail in the last presentation, we are doing our best as a company to get the most of this momentum. And we have an ambitious development plan in Europe, right? Apart from Spain, we are now in Italy, the U.K., Poland, and Germany. And in the U.S., as we have recently announced, we purchased 100% of Sophos Harbert. I believe more than ever that the timing was perfect to purchase this company. Initially, we purchased a 40% interest, and now we have 100%. And we are now accelerating the development plans in the U.S., which hopefully will become our largest market a few years from now. In storage, well, you know, we have, I believe, one of the best dedicated teams in the industry, and our first projects, we will inform about them very, very shortly, coming from Chile. But if we have to mention the biggest constraint for us in the last couple of years, would be definitely the delay in permits and permitting. We can be slightly more optimistic today. We finally, as we announced, obtained all DIAs for some of the largest plants in Spain. I'm talking about the Tabernas, Ayora, and José Cabrera projects. They finally came, I would say, with 2 years delay, but right at the end of the deadline. But well, the truth is we have them, and we are starting construction in Tabernas already and procuring them, and we will start construction very, very soon in Ayora and José Cabrera. Very busy first half of the year in capital markets. A capital increase of 90 million in June. And earlier on in the year, we raised 52 million in bonds at 4% rate. It seems like a very, very good deal now. And we've been also using the program of commercial paper during the year, right? Moving to key highlights, and I will review very, very briefly. EBITDA of 50 million euros. This is 21% up. And if you look in more detail, I think Daniel will elaborate more, but 36 million already coming from our IPP division, which is nearly three times more. And it's basically what we expected at the beginning of the year, right? And this is coming just with 500 megawatts on average, fully commissioned during the year. Remember, we started the year at five something, right? And we now have 2 gigawatts, well, 1.6 gigawatt in operation under construction, and plus and a backlog of another extra half gigawatt, which will be very soon under construction. So I don't know, it can give you an idea of where we are heading to, right? A year and a half or 2 years from now. 22 million of EBITDA came from our build to sell division, which is approximately 12, 13 million lower than expected. But as we explain, we transfer three plants in Chile to a regular investor, a regular client in the UK, and only one of them was in the accounts of December, and the other two were in the accounts of January due to some conditions precedents of minor permits that were not met until the end of January. Otherwise, the picture would have changed and we would have been in EBITDA of 60 something and net profit above 20 million. But I think this is a one-off, net profit is down, 30% down. I think Daniel will elaborate that. The reason, if you look at, the main reason is the 18 million of exchange rate differences from the situation in at the end of the third quarter until the end of the year. You know, the US dollar jumped from, the euro jumped from 0.95 to 1.10 in just a matter of 3 months. And this has a very important effect in our accounts, since we are reporting in euros, right? Anyway, we can elaborate more on this. About sales, we were very close to 300 million, 293. This is 33% up from last year. But looking in detail, we see nearly 60 million already coming from energy sales. This is up three times from around 20 million in 2021 and zero in 2020. So it gives you an idea of the exponential growth we are having. 2.6 million operation and maintenance, and 232 million coming from our construction division, 50 to third parties, and 182 million for our own CapEx, right? If you look at the situation only 2 years ago in 2020, we were reporting 113 and 23 million EBITDA. So it's, we are multiplying by three the size of the company every 2 years. And this is what we are expecting in the next 2 years, in 23 and 24. Looking at pipeline, it's 1.6 gigawatts in operation and construction. This is roughly 0.7 gigawatts operational or fully completed, and 0.9 gigawatts under construction. We have also a backlog of 0.5 gigawatts that we will start construction very, very soon. Most of these parks are in Spain. And we have a backlog of 2 gigawatts, and all together we're talking about 4 gigawatts, giving very high visibility on our 2025 5 gigawatt target. We have very recently started the procurement of some stations and closing the procurement of main materials for Tabernas plant, 250 megawatts. Is the largest plant so far that we have ever built, and is located in Almeria, as you know. And about sustainability, when it comes to this area, we are very, we're once again very proud our great achievements. We are really positioning ourselves at the forefront of sustainability. And indeed, this is supported by the main ESG ratings for which we are applying. For example, very recently, we really want to highlight this successful improvement in CDP climate change from B- in 2021 to A- in 2022. It should be pointed out that that CDP is one of the most globally recognized climate change ratings, and it really reflects our commitment and an increasing level of ambition in of our climate strategy. I would also like to highlight the accomplishment of 100% of our ESG objectives for the Action Plan 2022. And not only 2023 ESG targets have been approved and are ready in progress, but also we are working on updating the ESG roadmap for the 2024-2026 period, which will be released at the end of the year and will give plenty of visibility. And last but not least, I'd like to highlight that we've published and for the first time audited by a third party, the Sustainability Report 2022. And in this way, we provide our stakeholders with stronger credibility, quality of information, and better ratings. So thank you. I give the floor to Daniel.
Thank you, David. So let's move on to the financial part. So if you go to slide number 5, you can see how total revenue reached 293 million euros. That is 33% increase year on year. Development and construction division increased 20%, 17.8%. In the last quarter, we have been able to rotate one PMGD asset in Chile and 222 megawatts of projects under development in Peru, 150 megawatts Lupi, solar PV Lupi project, and 72 megawatts Emma Bayobar. Energy sales tripled to 57.8 compared to 19.9. This figure will be increased every quarter as we are connecting projects. So moving to next slide, which is number 6, we can see how this revenue was reflected in EBITDA. Starting from the development and construction, we have a lower figure this year, 22.1 million euros compared with 33.1. That small contribution was what David explained at the beginning of the presentation, the highlights. There has been a non-expected delay of rotation of two PMGD asset that represented around 11 million euros that will be registered in Q1 2023. Even though the EBITDA contribution from this division has been 17.1 million euros in the last quarter of the year. Energy EBITDA is first time the main EBITDA driver of the company, moving from 13.3 million euros to 36.1 million euros in the period. Also to mention that the corporate expenses move up a little bit from 5.3 million euros to 8.5 million euros. As you may know, we are speeding up our European and US platform, and that is where OPEX, the part that is not CAPEX, is your register. So if we go to slide number 7, we have been speeding up the investment in the last quarter of the year. Grenergy in the full year invested 194.4 million euros, mainly in solar projects under construction, utility scale and distribution projects, and as well, development capex that for the same reason we are increasing our corporate expenses, development capex, that is the way we are investing to generate pipeline, has moved up to 15.9 million euros and is expected to grow as we are speeding up the development of pipeline in solar, wind and storage, and speeding up in Europe and US, as later we'll explain Mercedes. Then in slide number 8, you can see the evolution of the cash position during 2022. And the evolution is from a starting cash balance position of 68.7 million euros. Then we have the positive EBITDA of 50.2, a positive working capital, first time in the year reverting the negative working capital we were having. Now it's 20.2 million euros positive. There has been some financial and tax expenses cash out, 31.9 million, some cash exchange rate difference, 1.9, and the growth capex I have explained, 194.4. Then some small short-term liquid investment, treasury share, 1.2, and it has been mostly financed with the bond and commercial paper program in place, the financial debt, that is mainly project financing, and some corporate debt, 56.5 million euros, and the share capital increase that we did in June 2022 of 90 million to reach 105.7 million euros by the end of the year. Then finally, in slide number 9, that is the evolution of our net debt. It is mainly the explanation of the cash flow, but there has been as well some non-cash out exchange rate differences of 35.5 million euros, mainly because we have the debt in dollar. There has been an impact in the appreciation of dollar in the part of the debt. So total debt at the end of the period was 339.7 million euros. That is over leverage of 6.8 times net debt EBITDA. For covenant reasons, the corporate leverage was 3.0 times net debt EBITDA. That is below our 3.5 times corporate leverage covenant. And now we move into pipeline. I leave the floor to David again.
Thank you, Daniel. So I'm just going to make it very, very short to leave more time for Q&A. And I think we have, in the previous presentation, we explained our strategy. We really want to get the most out of this fantastic opportunity. And in the medium and long term, we are working very hard in the US and in the new markets in Europe, right? I think hopefully we could start the construction of our first projects in Italy and hopefully something in Poland at the end of next year. And I think the first projects in the US as well. And this is going to change the profile of the company completely. Going to the total pipeline, we have 11.7, close to 12 gigawatts under the different stages of development. We don't consider in this figure the plants that are operational. And I think in next quarters, you will see a very important acceleration of identified opportunities on early stage. And many projects move from early stage to advanced development, since we will incorporate plenty of new projects in the new markets, in the new regions, right? This is very important, this slide, to show how the profile of and the areas, the geographies where we are developing is where the company is changing, right? You can see very clearly that the US now is 2.5 gigawatts. It's very close to take on overcome Chile as our largest market. I think definitely we will be our largest market in terms of megawatts under development very soon, maybe in the next update, with plenty of new identified opportunities coming in new areas. Chile still remains quite strong, right? But we are not really incorporating new identified opportunities. There will be some coming up, but the market is a lot more mature. This is the case of Spain, close to 2 gigawatts, but look at in the US, now we have 2.5, 2.5 Chile, 2 gigawatts in Spain, and many of them are very mature, right? And then around, well, now more than 1 gigawatt in Italy, more than 1 gigawatt in Poland, and we have a lower activity in the UK with strong focus in storage and a lower activity in Colombia and Peru. So that's kind of the profile of the company and where we are heading. And again, we might expect an acceleration in some regions of identified opportunities and early stage very, very soon. Looking at the picture, right, we are now putting together what we have in operation or concluded, plus what we have under construction, plus what we have in backlog. And again, many of these projects, we will start construction very soon in the next few weeks. We are talking about 2 gigawatts. And we have also a big visibility on these extra 2 gigawatts that are now, some of them are coming from the new markets like UK, Italy, Poland, and the US, plus what is coming from our traditional markets like Spain, Chile, and Colombia. We might expect as well many projects to jump from early stage to advanced development in the near 3 quarters, and many of these projects, in particular, some of the projects, large projects in Chile, will soon get it through and make it to backlog, right? So, and keep an eye, I think, in the next few weeks and months, I think we will be announcing very important agreements in terms of PPA agreements, right? To give full visibility on whatever we have under construction and all our backlog, right? So we might expect big announcements in Spain and Chile and also in Peru, right? So I think in the next few weeks, once these PPAs are fully binding, we will announce the market and we will give you plenty of information. So I think next quarter, we will have a strong focus in explaining those PPAs. So I think I give the floor to Mercedes to an update on the build to sell strategy. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, David. It's a pleasure to participate in the presentation and give you an overview of our build to sell activity as well as our current situation and plans in some markets as the US and Europe. As you might know, we have had a unique and successful rotation asset program, which since 2017 has mainly involved Chilean assets, PMGDs, where we have sold around 500 megawatts in 55 different projects. This is more than $550 million, allowing us to generate during that period the required cash flow for our build-to-own business model and growth strategy. So last year, 2022, has been a good example of our intense M&A activity. We sold 3 PMGD plants in Chile, totaling 29 megawatts and 2 almost ready to build, under development projects in Peru for a total of 222 megawatts. Contributing more than 22 million euros to the EBITDA of the company. In addition to this already significant amount, towards the end of the year, we agreed a third transaction with the same buyer, as David mentioned before, of 2 additional PMGDs for a total of $30 million. But the signing took place in January this year. So as said before, this transaction the contribution to our EBITDA could have been up to $33 million. As part of the green energy strategy, we are expecting during 2023 few additional rotations in Chile, probably in Colombia. And regarding Spain, we are also launching, it's public now, a transaction for the rotation of a minority stake in a 1 gigawatt portfolio, fully secured, which we have developed from scratch, all to be contracted with tier one of takers and constructed by our own EPC company. We call it Valkyria, and we consider it a unique opportunity in the market. We are actually seeing a huge interest from different type of investors, around 60 were willing to participate, and around 20 of them have been granted access to the first phase. We might receive NBOs in March, and after a pre-market research service carried out in December, we are expecting an enterprise value above 1 billion euros. So once this is concluded, it will give us the possibility to increase the cash position for our growth plans in other strategic markets for the company, such as the US or other countries in Europe. So moving to next slide, some words for one of the most promising markets, as I would say, for us, the US. As you might know, upon the publication of the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, there is much more clarity and certainty on how the government is pushing for the growth of renewables in the country. The program allocates $370 billion for US tax credit and direct payments for renewable energy. So the government is expecting PV deployments to increase from around 67 gigawatts to 1,000 by 2035. And that was one of Grenergy's drivers that result in the purchase of 100% of Sofos Harbor, the developer that we totally integrated early this year. So this full acquisition gives us a real opportunity to accelerate our activity in the market, which with the consolidated team of close to 20 people, I think we are in a privileged position in this market where we start with almost 2 gigawatts. This pipeline, mostly located in the Southeast, is now strongly complemented with projects in MISO, PGM, and also ERCOT, which is a key and more liquid market to diversify our presence in the US. And that also gives us the possibility to participate in different schemes, either through PPA with corporate, public, or wholesale market. A very promising situation in the US, as you can see, and we're very happy regarding this full acquisition and integration of the team. So going to next slide. Around 3 years ago, we strongly focused in Europe, driven by the European Commission plan Repower EU and accelerated by the Ukrainian war. So we are becoming, I think, very well prepared to participate in this acceleration plan to fast forward the green transition. As you know, the EU strategy is to double the current solar capacity by 2025 and install 600 megawatts by 2030 to reach the target. So most of the countries are pushed to implement laws in this sense and to accelerate the permitting process, which is crucial at this point. So there's a perfect momentum for renewables in Europe. Going to very fast to the specifics on each market, we have presence in 5 countries. We are not well consolidated apart from Spain, of course, Italy, Poland, and the UK, with a staff of around 15 to 20 people in each of our offices there, and an overall pipeline of around 2.5 giga in these 3 countries. We are, in any case, launching significant acceleration plans in these markets as we're really confident about their potential. we are successfully establishing ourselves in Germany with a local staff of 20 people for the moment. The country has an extraordinary potential for PV and storage and has very ambitious and specific plans targeting 215 gigawatts by 2030. This means the installation of around 21 gigawatts per year, which is huge. So this country will therefore be key to our growth strategy in Europe, and we're putting all efforts in terms of human resources and allocation of CapEx in order to have a significant market share in a couple of years from now. It's equally important to point out our M&A buy side activity here, where we are frequently analyzing different portfolios and projects, giving us the flexibility and possibility at a certain point to accelerate our activity. So as said, we have very ambitious plans in these markets, which represent with Spain more than 80% of the European energy demand. And we are sure that they will contribute to position ourselves on the right path to achieve our 5 gigawatt target by 2025. So I give the floor now to Javier for ESG.
Thank you, Mercedes. It's an honor to take part in the presentation. If we move to the main ESG commitments, in the next slide, we can see on the left part of the first page, you can see the achievement of the ESG Action Plan 2022 with the accomplishment of full 2022 ESG objectives. On the right part of the slide, we can see the Q4 objectives, integration of ESG aspects in the procurement process. The main highlights to point out are the update of the procurement procedure and supplier code of conduct with integration of ESG clauses, and also ESG risk assessment and homologation process. Next Q4 objective, project level human rights impact assessment. In this objective, we have carried out an identification and assessment of potential human rights impact in the operation process and supply chains of green energy. In order to identify human rights impact, we have conducted human rights training for key personnel, country risk analysis, and internal and external questionnaires to conclude with the identification of these potential impacts. And finally, the water use program. Green energy is aware that water is a limited resource and irreplaceable natural resource. In this sense, we have extended and improved the direct water footprint measurement according to ISO 14046. To carry this, we have considered data collection based on the origin, operational use, and location of water stress areas. And with these inputs, we have computed the green energy's water impact and established finally some improvements to implement. If we move to the next slide, David, can we move to the next? Thank you. We can see the last phase of the ESG roadmap 21-23. Here we can see the 12 objectives for the whole year, explaining their implementation in the quarterly progress reports with the Q1 objectives already in progress. The ESG 2023 action plan was presented and approved by the senior management and the board of directors at the end of this year. And we are already working on updating the ESG roadmap 24-26 plan, not only to comply with all current and future ESG regulations, but also to improve our ESG positioning in the industry and address stakeholder expectations. And finally, if we move to the last ESG slide, we can see the expansion, improved positioning, and leadership ratification in ESG ratings. In this sense, we have submitted in 2022 CDP climate change, upgrading from B minus to A minus, placing in the leadership category. Also in 2022, we expanded our ESG rating coverage, in this case, Refinitiv, where we obtained an outstanding ranking of second position out of 79 companies in the renewable energy sector. And in addition to the previous ratings published in Q4, it is worth pointing out the following ESG ratings accomplished in 2022. First of all, remarkable top ESG rated distinction evaluated by Sustainalytics out of 15,000 companies having industry and regional distinction. ESG risk is almost negligible by Sustainalytics. Furthermore, MCI improved performance in MCI obtaining the highest AAA score. And finally, A minus score in ESS with a very high level of transparency.
Okay, thank you, Javier. I think now presentation is over. So let's move on to the Q&A session. There is a chat available. So please, if you have any question, please send a direct message to the administrator using that chat tool. And well, we will let you know when you can ask your question. Thank you. Miguel, and now I think we have Fernando García from RBC. Hola, Fernando.
Hola, Daniel. Muchas gracias. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. So I have two. No, first on this Valkyria project of divestment of Spanish assets. So I would like to ask probably Mercedes about timing. Then on PPAs, so for these projects, not all of them they have PPAs. So are you expecting as well to sign PPAs for these projects that they don't have it in the short term? Then on the cash inflow, I would probably expect that maybe we can expect something when you sign the deal, and then maybe apart when the assets are commissioned. Can you explain a little bit how this is going to work in your idea? And then if P&L, how this is going to work, no? Is it going to be in line with the cash flow of the several projects when they are commissioned? And final one, probably this is for David, if you can comment on what are you expecting for the proceeds that it could be quite significant, no? Second question, looks like CapEx is going down. Could you update on that as well, on a little bit on OPEX and financial costs? And I will appreciate based on that if you can elaborate a little bit on your expectations of returns in 2023 versus 2022. So these are my two questions.
Thank you, Fernando. I think we've got plenty of questions. I can try to reply, if Mercedes wants to jump, but I think I can reply very quickly. But Valkyria, about the PPAs, we are expecting to announce. The whole idea about Valkyria is offering the market something that is really unique. You know, there are many deals in the market. There is also strong appetite on the both on the sell side, buy side. So we wanted to make something a bit unique, and I think one of the key aspects was to make sure that all the portfolio was fully contracted. You know that on one side we have Escuderos, we have Belinchón. These plants are already operational, and I think you got information for the PPAs. We will announce very shortly the off-takers. On one side, we will have an off-taker for Tabernas and Ayora and Jose Cabrera. Part of this has already been agreed. We are extending to the full package. I think during March, we will announce a single off-taker for all these packets. And we will also announce very soon, maybe next week, the off-taker for La Cereal, which is part of Tres Cantos project. Fernando, maybe you can mute. Yeah, thank you. About the proceeds, we're talking about different scenarios, right? On one side, as Mercedes pointed out, there was a very high expectation on this process, but some bidders are looking more at COD, some others are looking at investing, are ready to build. So depending on which partner we finally bring in, it will be a different situation in terms of cash flow. Obviously, we will try to maximize the value. Again, we believe this is a unique opportunity, it's fully contracted, really skin on the game from the sponsor. We are building the plans. We have developed all of them from scratch. We will be in charge of the operational maintenance and asset management, right? But depending on, for some existing operational projects like Escuderos and Belinchón, we might expect the proceeds to be cashed in very quickly, as early as Q2, Q3. But for the remaining plants that will be under construction, it really will depend on the final profile of the investor, whether the proceeds, we have visibility on the proceeds at the end of this year or during 2024. Conclude, obviously, this process, we will give you visibility. Your question about CapEx, OpEx, internal rate of return, CapEx is going down for solar. It's mainly due to the reduction in the price of panels. I think we're now procuring panels for 20, 21 cents of euro. This is compared to, that's US dollars, right? So this is compared to 24, 25. And this is beaten really our estimation, right? If you remember, we were in November talking about, I think we have a slide here. We were talking about below €500,000. I think our expectation now is that we will be 570, maybe 570, 580. Once again, this is for a very large plant in a country like Spain. If the plant is smaller in a different market, it would be slightly higher. So OPEX cost, there's more inflation there, right? I think the operational maintenance is a very mature market. So, you know, we're talking about prices of 4,000, sometimes 3,500 per megawatt year, right? There is some inflation in the land at cost, of the lease cost of land in some markets, right? And this is something we are witnessing in Europe now, where we are all struggling to grab and to secure the best lands available in markets like Poland and Germany, and it's been the case of Italy. So we see some inflation there, right? And I think considering the rest of components of CapEx, as I mentioned earlier on, we have no supply chain issues at all, right? Logistics are, well, back to pre-COVID, I would say. We're paying now, again, $2,000 per container. But maybe only the substations and the high voltage materials, everything that is coming from Hitachi or General Electric or Siemens, we really see a bottleneck there, right? And prices are increasing and the delivery times are becoming an issue in some cases. So internal rate of return of projects, it's the project IRR. We are happy to say that we are very close to double digit in our main markets in Spain and Chile, and still the finance market is very competitive, and we can increase the especially in Europe, the equity IRR quite a lot to meet maybe in some cases 14-15%. And Fernando, this is more or less an update on the situation.
Thank you, Fernando. I think we have now Jorge Guimaraes from GB Capital. If you can ask, please, one question, so we have questions from all the sell side analysts. Hello, Jorge. Miguel, can you unmute Jorge?
Hi, good morning, everyone. My question is related to the prices of PPAs. If you can give some color on the type of prices of PPAs that you are getting in Spain and in Chile, and the duration of those PPAs. Thank you very much.
Hi, buenos días, Jorge. There are no changes. I mean, the conversations we are having in Spain, we've been having those conversations and those negotiations for more than a year. So where we are now is we are finalizing the agreements. And I think, as I mentioned, we have managed to sign PPAs in the region of mid 40s, right? In some cases, slightly higher. I'm talking about the new PPAs. I'm not talking about the PPA for Belinchón that was in the low 40s. And well, you know, the PPA of Escuderos was in the high 30s. And to compare apples with apples is always what we say. We are talking about PPAs starting Belinchón and Escuderos. We were talking about 12 years, right? Belinchón is starting at the beginning of 2025. It means that we're going to have more than 1.5 year full merchant, right? The plant, we always start commissioning of the plant, I think in April, May. Hopefully in June, we'll be fully operational and selling energy. And that we will be 1.5 year full merchant, and then the PPA will start. So when we are comparing one PPA with another, you also need to consider that each one is a very different animal, right? The new PPAs we're closing in Spain, we are talking about PPAs starting mid or the end of 2025, right? And we're talking about PPAs in the mid 40s and for 15 years, and we're securing around 75% of the estimated production of the plant. We are strong believers that the plants should be contracted, and the higher percentage, normally the better, right? But we also recognize that there is an upside in the short term in high merchant prices, right? That's the situation in Spain. Situation in Chile, we have big announcements to make, I think, in the next few weeks. We announced firstly the PPA for Gran Teno and Tamango plants that are under construction. And those PPAs were closed in low 30s. But you have to consider that we're talking about mid 30s, but we mid 30s in US dollar, but we have high radiation there. And there's a big difference. Those PPAs are indexed. So, you know, in maybe already in when the plant gets commissioned, we will be in the high 30s, and maybe 10 years from now we will be in the mid 50s. So it's a completely different, you know, the normally PPAs in Latin America, and I think will be the case in the US. We'll have some kind of indexation. In Europe, you're talking about a fixed price. So again, it's hard to compare, right? It's again different animals. Thank you.
Thank you, Jorge. Now we have Nash Kui from Barclays.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Yes, perfectly fine.
Perfect, thank you. Two questions from me, if that's okay. So the first one is leverage ratio increased a third time in a row. Just wonder, will Grenergy consider equity raise this year? If yes, could you please provide a little bit of color on the timing and magnitude? Then my second question is, strategy-wise, what is your key focus for 2023? And do you have any target for capacity under operation?
Thank you. Thanks for your two questions. I was trying to find to reply your second question. Yeah. Okay, about the leverage ratio. Well, it's been very minor increase. If we had reflected in our accounts the two PMGDs that we transfer at the end of January, and it was really a deal that was agreed in Q4, but it couldn't be completely formalized until very early 2023. I think the ratio would have been better, right? Even below six. So it's what we say. I mean, when we are doubling, we are now really in a very strong investment period. We are increases multiplying our CapEx by two in a matter of 12 months, right? So sometimes CapEx and the debt that is associated to this CapEx comes first, and the EBITDA from the generation of these plants, normally there is a mismatch of around 2-3 quarters, right? So it's hard to compare. You will even see increased levels of leverage in the next few quarters, and then it will tend to stabilize, right? So I don't think it's something that we are concerned. We are, as we have mentioned, we are fully financed for this year, right? Obviously, we are a public company. We have plenty of room for further capital increases if these are needed, right? And we might look at them as we have stressed many times, maybe for 2024. It will depend on the evolution also of our build to sell activity. These Valkyria projects and the sale of minority interest is a fantastic opportunity to raise capital in a different way. But at the end of the day, is similar effect to a capital increase. So we are fine. We are not expecting any deal this year. And obviously, we will look at we have very strong acceleration factors in our equity story and in our business plan. We are in the US, Germany. Those are markets where we are accelerating also our storage plan. So at one point we might need to raise new capital, but I reckon it will not happen until 2024. And your second question about, I think it was about strategic, what was our key focus for 2023? Well, we want to focus on execution, and execution. Finally, I think some of the permitting bottlenecks are clear. And we're very happy to say that from next quarter, we will have more than 1 gigawatt under construction. This is really a lot. I mean, we are talking about delivering 600, 700 megawatts per year now. And we really want to focus on execution on one side in our main traditional markets like Chile, Spain, which is really where the construction activity now is focused. But at the same time, we don't want to miss the huge opportunity we have ahead. And we are accelerating our development plans. We are really recruiting more people focused exclusively on development in our new markets, mainly the US, Germany, Poland, Italy, and the UK. And I think, this is where we're going to be really focusing in 2023.
Okay, thank you, Nash. Now we have Henry Tarr from Berenberg. Hi, Henry. Miguel, can you unmute Henry?
There we go. Hi, guys. Thanks very much for the presentation. Just to sort of follow on from that last point, really, are you seeing improvements in the permitting processes across different countries? Do you think there are processes which are getting easier or governments are getting better at pushing these permits through? And then I think you're mentioning building up the teams, etc. You're looking to do 1 gigawatt per annum. Do you have enough resource within the organization today to really deliver that? Where are you looking to build? Thank you.
Thank you. Well, it's you've mentioned two of the well, when we always mention the biggest constraints we have, we do mention permitting is one, and talent is the other one, right? I think some way or another we always find a way to finance our plans, but building the right teams now is really challenging, right? It's really challenging everywhere in this industry, but there are some markets like the UK or Germany and the US where it's really becoming very, very challenging. And we are doing our best. And I think we are, okay, building a team of 20 in Germany from scratch in 6 months, considering in this market, they need to give like a 3 months notice on average. It's really, really an achievement, and we're very, very proud of our human resources team. And while we're doing our best, we are offering the key employees access to stock option plans, which is something that traditionally has had great results, and it's a very fair deal, we believe, to make them part of the success of the company. And we keep, you know, we are now, we identify that the lack of the right people is one of the major bottlenecks that we might face in our expansion. So we are working very hard in every market. We are now a company with more than achieving, we're getting close to 400 employees, and more than 100 are focused exclusively on development. And this number will definitely grow in the next few quarters. About permitting, something is moving. I don't want to be that pessimistic. I'm more optimistic now. I mean, well, maybe it's because we just got the environmental permits in Spain that we had long awaited. But I think it's something's moving. I mean, in the new markets, what we call new markets for us, or like Germany, something is really moving in many regional governments. In some cases, they're promising, some periods for approval of a year. They look impossible, but in some cases, they're opening like fast tracks. And some landers in Germany, some regional governments are really publishing new fast tracks and new laws to accelerate the permitting process. I think in Italy, we are looking at some changes in some regions, some others is still need a plenty of time, but Sicily and Lazio and Basilicata, things are moving faster now. And well, in Spain, we're now fine, that finally we made it, right? The environmental permits now, it's the rest of permits we need are really, should be fine to get them, right? So it's and the thing is that it's been identified by all administrations at the EU level, at the country by country, as one of the major constraints in the industry. And I think this is good, right? That at least it's been identified, and we need more renewable energy. We need this energy now, and I think the main constraint is permitting.
Okay, thank you, Henry. Now we have Flora Tindade from CaixaBank BPI. Hi, Flora.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I have a question on the tables you usually provide on pipeline. If we compare with the data from 9 months, there seems to have been a decline, I think, mainly in Chile. If you can explain some projects moving into 2024. And also, if we add up those projects, we reach around 400 megawatts to be added or with COD in 2023 versus the 1 gigawatt you expect to have under construction. So this is your central scenario in terms of additions for this year. That would be my question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Flora. I think you might refer to this table here, right? Well, we have a very large plan in Chile under construction. This is Teno. I think it's expected to be fully operational in, I think the date we now have is November this year. So it's Q4 2023. It's really going to change Chile because we're talking about 240. We have next door, like a smaller plant, Tamango. We are using the same off-taker, in fact, and the same financing for the two plants, right? And this the last date we are considering is January 2024. So it's first quarter 2024. So altogether, we're talking about 300 here, right? Then we have our PMGDs. It's business as usual. You know, we keep building those plants. We now have 60 plants for us. We close the financing for these 140 with Natixis. We are looking now on either an extension of with Natixis or using another bank to finance this lot plus this lot here of 130 that we are starting construction very, very soon. It's a new scenario for PMGDs. Some of them will be full, purely solar. Some of them will already incorporate storage. So it's a different scenario. And we are working now with, you know, banks really need some education on this. And we're working very, very, very hard in Chile for the PMGD. So we are expecting, in any case, to connect in Chile before the end of 2024. We are talking about Teno and Tamango utility scale, these 300, plus at least another 200 in PMGDs. This is our expectation from 2024. For 2025, we have new plants coming up that you will see them very shortly, I think, in the next update in backlog. Yeah, we have plenty of large plants here. We have a fantastic pipeline, and we are securing the PPAs first. And I think we'll give some light very, very, very shortly, right? That's the situation in Chile. In Spain, we have, Belinchón. We are missing 50. This will be completely finalized at the end of next month. And then we have Tabernas, and we are about to start construction on procurement very soon of Ayora and José Cabrera in Spain. I mentioned all of these, and, well, that's more or less the hope it helps. But next update, you will see a big increase in backlog coming from the large project of Chile. And hopefully we will include one of the Clara Campoamor, maybe 275 out of these 575, which we are announcing the PPA also very shortly.
Okay, thank you, Flora. Now we have Daniel Rodriguez from Bestinver.
Okay. Hi, Daniel. Hello. Hi. Hello. Good morning. Can you hear me? Yes, I have. Well, more is a theoretical question. Well, we have seen that all the environmental permits have been approved, like in a single date for everybody. I mean, all the developers are announcing these projects, and I'm a little bit concerned that what is going to happen in 2023. And 2024, whether this could have an impact on creating another bottleneck, either on connection, on construction, or on PPA negotiation. No? So this could be a concern, and whether this could trigger the possibility, because I have seen all the PPAs you have in place are basically in Spain, pay as produce. So whether you could consider a more sophisticated type of PPAs in light with this higher competition. This would be my question. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's a very relevant question. I think that's the reason why we are securing everything with PPAs. I think maybe a month from now, we will make all the announcements and all our pipeline in Spain. I'm talking about this pipeline, right? This from whatever we have under construction to whatever we have in backlog, and even whatever is advanced development, everything will be fully secured with PPAs. So we will not be competing with the rest on this potential, outflow of projects. I have to say, anyway, that I don't know. I've been a bit. I've been changing my mind about the situation in Spain. It's true that there are many projects coming up, but many of the DIAs that were published are. You're talking about projects that, for one reason or another, they are not going to be built. This is my expectation, because some of them they have very long interconnection line, and some of them are impossible to build. In any way, it will take a while. Don't expect 50,000 of megawatts under construction next year. That's not going to happen for sure, right? That's going to happen from 2024, 2025, and beyond, right? And let's see how the market evolves, right? Don't underestimate the. I think this is something we are insisting the government, right? That we need a legislation of storage, right? Because the more storage, the more PV, right? And we need a legislation of storage. The sooner the better, right? Storage is becoming very competitive, and it's sometimes it's the answer, right? We are not going to. I read on the news this morning that there were predictions of 60,000 megawatts of solar in 2030. That's going to be more than possible, but with plenty of storage, right? And that's something that we have to work very, very strongly. Apart from that, I don't really expect, one way or another, we're going to find a way to build these parks. The biggest bottleneck, I would say, will be interconnections, right? Substations, trafos, Siemens is sold out for the next 2 years. GE is sold out. So, you know, we're going to start working in some cases. We have already secured our deliveries for all this portfolio, but I'm sure that some of the developers have not, and that's going to create a bottleneck.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. Now we have Anis Ndaya from ODDO. We are all over 10 minutes. Anis, if you could make
Thank you, Daniel. Question. Yeah, thank you, Daniel. Good morning to all. I have only two questions, one on build to sell and one on build to own. So starting with the build to sell business, you have sold ready to build projects, contrary to usual. Is it a change of strategy? And what is your target for 23? And in the build to own business, just to know for the contribution on the energy business was relatively weak in the fourth quarter. Why? So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. In terms of build to sell, we had forecasted to raise around 35 million euros in EBITDA, and the figure is lower than that, but because of these two deals that were finally reflected in January, right? If other than that, we would have been really in this figure. And in terms of megawatts, we had to transfer, it was a different way. On one side, we transfer PMGDs, so it was business as usual for us. But on the other, right, but we have been transferring, considering the reductions in CapEx, we've been making a higher margin. So we didn't need to sell more, right? That's the idea, to meet our target. So if we finally transfer these four plants during the whole year. And we have also transferred some non-strategic plants in Peru, right? And this being another deal we've made, and another way of raising, of delivering build to sell plants. How are we going to approach this in 2023? Where we will keep transferring 100% interest in some plants, as mentioned, as Mercedes mentioned earlier on. But we are definitely exploring the alternative of transferring minority interest, which is another way of doing build to sell deals. Of course, if this happens, we will need to explain the investment community and all the analysts. I'm sure you are all aware of that, but it's a different way of approaching a build to sell. It doesn't go through our P&L, but it's a fantastic way to raise capitals, and we make a profit after all. So we will try to, if this happens, we will try to explain. I don't know, we will talk about adjusted EBITDA or whatever, but we will try to explain very well the effect in our accounts of these deals, right? Because when we keep control, you know, we will keep consolidating full EBITDA, but still we will raise plenty of cash through these deals. About your second question about the relatively low production of plants in Q4. Well, on one side, we have a very weak November and December in Spain. This was affecting Escudero's plant. Just keep in mind that we still have a relatively small number of plants. So if in one quarter we had low prices of energy in our plants in the north of Chile, in Quillagua, and we had a very bad rainy fourth quarter, and particularly November and December in Spain. On the contrary, January and February are performing extremely well. And so it's still a matter. Whenever we have a more diversified portfolio, I think the plants in the south, in southern hemisphere, will compensate the plants in another hemisphere. So we have like a more compensated approach. Thank you.
Thank you. Finally, we have Paul Chambran from Kempen. Hi, Paul. Hi, Paul. Okay. I think he. Hi, Paul. Can you? We cannot hear you.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yeah, now we can.
Yes, now.
Hello. God damn it.
Paul? Okay, I think Paul is facing technical problem. So as the time is all over, already 15 minutes, we are gonna contact Paul to answer your question. I think we can finish the presentation.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much once again to everyone. So thank you, have a great day.
Thank you very much, bye.